Welcome to the Foresight Church Podcast. Enjoy this week's sermon. For more information about us, go to foresightchurch.co.za.
Come on, thanks. It's your Bible. Morning, everyone. Hey, man, I just want to say thanks, guys, for being open-handed and just for the church, Chris, the elders, and just for having me. Yeah, I really appreciate it. And Werner also for organizing the weekend, and hey, Phil and his wife, hey, come on, guys, you are champions, man. I stayed with them, and sadly, I need to leave, but it was an amazing weekend, nice to be here, and thank you, Lord Jesus, just for this morning, Father, and I just pray, Lord Jesus, just come and do what you do so well, Jesus, just pour your love over us. Just come into those places of need in our lives, Lord Jesus, and we just open up for your word, Lord, and we declare that if we walk out here, we will not be the same. In the name of Jesus, amen. Yeah, this weekend we had an amazing time together. When my boys were 13, I did a rite of passage with them, journeyed with them until they left my house, and we just journeyed on a lot of different topics, relationships, you know, datings, and just life in general, and finances were one of the things. And then I couldn't really find something that were relative on their level for them. And then I said, Lord Jesus, then we need to develop something. And we developed a board game called Be Wise about business. It's about entrepreneurship, finances, godly principles of business. And yes, today my boys, my twins is 21. I've got three boys. The first two are 21. They own two businesses already. When they finished matric, they were 19 February. They bought their first business. They already own two. And they're starting up the third one at the moment. Proud of them. They're doing well, twins. And then my other boy, Dirkie, he's grade 12 now. He started his business in grade 6. He's doing amazing. He's going to take a gap year next year. And then he's going to study. He wanted to be an engineer his whole life. So, yeah, God just blessed me. My wife's at home. She's still looking after Dirkie. He's in his exams. But next year, she'll be traveling with me. But anyway, Chris phoned me on Friday, said, Murdoch, I know you prepared something, but please talk about finances. So it's amazing. And I said, okay, Lord Jesus, if it's only 2 days, then I'll have to hand over to you. So then you'll just have to come and do it. So I'm excited for what the Lord wants to do. And I just want to dive right into it, if it's fine, and just talk about finances. But friends, you know what? About a month or two ago, God stopped me one day and he said, Murdoch, I don't want you to talk about finance, about money, and tell people how to make money and do those things. I want you to tell people how to live with money. That's the key. That unlocks the things. If we learn how to live with money, the rest comes naturally. Just follow God's footstep where he leads. And so I want to go there to Luke 12, and I just want to start off with this. In Luke 12, verse 16, God tells a parable, and it says, and he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentiful. This guy were blessed. He had abundance. The heavens opened over this guy's business. He did well. He had plentiful. God really blessed this guy. And this man, he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. This guy was so blessed. He had abundance of the previous year's crops still in his barns that he didn't have the necessity to use it. So it was still there. And now the next blessing comes in. And now his stores is so full, he doesn't know what to do with this. So he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build bigger, larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I don't think that's a bad thing. This guy understood to save. He understood how to look after his stuff. All right, so I don't think that was a very bad thing to do. But then something happened. He said, I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, friends, that were the problem. And Jesus gives us the answer. He says there in verse 20, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. See, that was the problem of this man. Because God is kingdom focused. Not only self-focused. Yes, I'm going to use some finances to look after myself, my family, because we need to live. But friends, we need to be kingdom focused. God is the source. Our business, our job is the tool. We the channel, but kingdom is the goal. God is kingdom focused. And this man wasn't. 11 times he used the word I and me and myself. It was all about himself. But God says, no, it needs to be about the kingdom. Now, I know there was a big time in my life when I was a fool. Didn't manage my finances, didn't give, didn't tithe, I didn't do anything. That was kingdom focused. And I want to say to you, friends, money has an effect on each and every one of us. I want to show you. You agree this is a 100-rand note, am I right? It's a 100-rand note. Did you see how small a 100-rand gets when you go to the mall? Hey, Mom, this thing is small. You know, when I want to take my wife on a date and I want to do it really special, you know, this 100-rand becomes small. You know, go on holiday or do that nice thing that you want to go shopping or buy clothes. Yeah. Can I say, go buy groceries. I mean, 100-rand is small, am I right? Friends, do you see how big a 100-rand gets when you come to church? My man, that thing, hey, it's like the 100-rand is huge, you know. And if that offering comes, you open the wallet, friends, money has an effect on each and every one of us. And yes, many times I'm a fool. Jesus, help me, Lord. I need to understand your heart, Lord, on finances. But I want to say to you, then Luke 5, verse 27, Jesus calls Levi. And it says there, verse 27, 28, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. You see, friends, tax collectors weren't people that were loved in those days, because the Romans had a tax that they put on the people, and the tax collector would add his tax, and then the people would have to pay that, and they didn't want to pay that because he could actually almost ask what he wants, and they were very rich people, these tax collectors, and people didn't want to pay that. So they hated these people. They didn't like these people. These people weren't very honest people, and they worked for the Roman government. But friends, Jesus came into town, and he stopped, and he turned to Levi, and he went to him, and he said, Levi, I don't care what people think. I don't care what you've done wrong. I don't care how you manage finances. Follow me. I'm calling you because I separate identity from behavior. You know, there was a day when Jesus came to me and said, Murdoch, I don't care if you mismanage now. I don't care what you do. Follow me. Follow me. Come learn my heart. Come learn my ways. Yo, friends, what an incredible journey. That day when I just said yes to Jesus, when I stepped out of that booth and I said, Jesus, I will follow you. Teach me, Lord. Show me your heart. Show me your ways. And one of the first things that God showed me, and I want to talk to you about just 7 or 8 things that God just taught me as I journeyed life, just on finances and just how to live with money. And in Matthew 6, it says, don't worry about your clothes or your food or put anything there, man. Don't worry about your children's futures. Don't worry all those things. But it says this, and this was the key for me when I had to start off. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, friends, I went and I searched these things in my own ability, in my own strength, and I got tired, and I came to a place where I almost burned out because I was doing God's job. God said, I will add. You don't add, I add. You do the searching. You search my heart. 1 Peter 2, verse 21, for this you have been called. Jesus gave you the example. Follow his footsteps. When he calls you, follow him, and he'll show you the ways. Lord, what's the ways? Seek my kingdom and my righteousness, and I will add. What do I say about finances? Manage it, tithe, sowing, whatever. Learn from me, seek me first. Now, the word kingdom comes from the word basileia. That means to rule, to reign, and to have authority. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. Righteousness to come in right standing and to do what is right. Take up your authority and rule. The first thing Jesus said when he started with his ministry, his first words, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The first thing that John the Baptist said, first words, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Jesus sent the disciples out the first time, he sent them out. He said, the first thing, go and tell the people, the kingdom of heaven is here. I think it's important. I mean, it's the first words that Jesus said, first words that John said, the first thing he told his disciples to go and tell the people. I think it's important. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is here. Your authority is here. Take it up and rule. Rule with that consistently. Keep on doing what is right and righteous. Be righteous. Take up your authority. Rule. And he says, if you do those things consistently, and if you do the right things consistently, I will add. Isn't that amazing, friends? But we run around like chickens with our heads trying to add. And we struggle. Instead of learn to live with money, how to manage money, how to deal with money, how to be righteous. And then God will add. Isn't that amazing? Friends, we need to be in balance. In balance. You know, when I balance, help me, Lord. When I balance this thing, you know, there's consistent adjustments. Can you see? Yes, as we go in finances, we must make adjustments to keep this thing balanced. Yes, in our life, we're going to make a few adjustments. And you know what? To really balance this, you need to look up. Can you see? When you look up, it's much easier. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Follow His ways. I'm telling you, friends, it's the right way. You won't go wrong. I'm telling you, you'll see miracles and you'll see breakthroughs when you come to a place to say, Jesus, I surrender. I step off from my booth, Lord Jesus, and I follow You, Lord Jesus, Your ways. Show me Your ways, Lord, and I'll take up my authority and I'll do it consistently, Jesus. And I'm telling you, friends, I've seen it over and over and over. I didn't read it in a book. I've experienced in life, in people's lives, where they do those things, there is breakthrough that's coming. How many people come to me, talk about their finance, and I tell them, budget. But the people don't budget. But I'm telling you, once they start to budget and manage what God has given to you, I'm telling you, you hear the testimonies. And then I say, Lord, it's true. It's true. Your word is true. But we need to follow. Let's talk about a few things that God taught me as we journeyed. The one is, God spoke to me about righteousness and justice. Psalm 89 verse 11 says, the heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all that is in it, you have founded them. Friends, the Lord is above all. He created everything. Everything belongs to Him. He's in control. And then I said, Lord Jesus, I need to learn from You. Lord, if everything is under You, if You need to manage everything, if all the earth is under You, how do You do it, Lord? Because I want to do it, Lord, with whatever You have given me. Show me, Jesus. How do You do that, Lord? Psalm 89:14 says, righteousness and justice are the foundations of Your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness goes before You. Friends, a foundation is something that we build before we start with anything else. Am I right? We build a foundation. Everything else has been built on that foundation. That foundation is strong. You know what? God's very throne is built on a foundation that's called righteousness and justice. Isn't that amazing? And when I have righteousness and justice in my life, love flows from there. Love and faithfulness flows from there. Because if I'm in right standing with God, there's a faith that comes in me. And if I have justice, there's a love that flows out. Because righteousness is the up part of the cross, is to come in right standing with God and do right. And justice is to this world. God says, come in right standing and do justice. in your finances, it's about the kingdom. Come in right standing with your finances and love my people with your finances. Isn't that amazing? And I said, Lord Jesus, I want to know this. I want to know this. In Jeremiah 6:16, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your soul. Friends, I want to search that place. I need that place. Lord, show me the good way because I want to walk in the good way because I need rest for my soul. Show me what's the good way, Lord. What is that, Lord? And then in Genesis 18, we see that Abraham and his wife has this promise. They're trusting Lord for a kid. And three men come and they say to Abraham and to his wife, a year from now, you will have a son. And this is what they also said to them in Genesis 18, 19. For I have chosen him, Abraham, that he may command his children and his household after him, all of us, to keep the way of the Lord. Oh, wow, it's coming. Lord, I want to know what's that way, Lord. What's the way of the Lord? To keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. Isn't that amazing, eh? So that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. Friends, we need to come in right standing and do justice. In our finances, come in right standing and do justice. It's about people. Yo, I told my boys when they were in business, I told them, listen, when the customers walk into your store, don't see how much money you can make out of them. It's not about the money. Say, how can I serve them? Because if you serve them, the rest comes naturally. Because people want to feel important, people want to be loved, and people want to be cared for. Do justice. If someone walks into your store, it's about the person, not about their money. Change the way you see things. Change the way you, because you know if it's about justice, there will be a love that flows out and you'll put a 10 on their head and you'll treat and talk to them like a 10. And they will fall in love with your business. That's amazing. And they will come back. Isn't that amazing? It's about people, friends. You know what? When Joseph came to his brothers in the field, he wanted to bless them. When he came there, Judah said, they wanted to throw him in. And this Ishmaelites or this caravan came and he said, oh, guys, there's an opportunity. Let's sell him for some money. We can make money out of this. This is amazing. Many years later, Joseph became second in charge. His brothers, there was a drought. They came to buy food. They bought food. Joseph took the money that they bought the food with and put it back in their saddlebags. Because for Joseph, it wasn't about the money. It was about the person, the relationship. I love my brothers. It's not about the money. Just put it back. It's fine. I love my brothers. Isn't that amazing? People, let it be about people. Let it be about people. Let's do justice. Let's look after the poor, the widow, the orphan. Let's look after each other. Let's be there for each other. Let it be about justice. God taught me that one thing. Let it be about justice. Let it be about people. And friends, the other thing that I also learned in life is to be in balance. Yo, friends, you know these days, we can so easily get out of balance where we are. You know, everything in life balances on time. Your business, your family, your ministry, your sport, your so everything balances on time. There's a season for everything, friends. You know what? We need to be in balance. When my business takes some strain, I will move my time there, sort it out, and come back into balance. But many people, when their business takes some strain, they move there and they stay there, and then their marriage takes some strain. And then my wife would say, you know what? It's only about your business. More important, it's about money. That's all you do. No, man, where do you think does the money come from? I mean, where do you get your clothes? I mean, if I'm not there, who's going to do the work? You know, I've got an answer. I've got the answer to justify myself. But friends, we need to be in balance with everything we do, especially in these days. I want to read to you there in Luke 10. There's a story of the Samaritan. It's amazing. The parable of the good Samaritan. And behold, a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." Amazing. Friends, many times we do that. I do love Jesus. I do that. I do love Jesus. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But then he said, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" So I want to do justice. But how do I do this? How do I do justice, Lord? Who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed and leaving him half dead." We all know people like that. All right. Broken. That's hurt. That's been disappointed by this world. We know people. "Now by chance a priest was going down to the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and he saw him, he passed by the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion." Love goes before us. Love goes before God's throne, because it's built on righteousness and justice. When we see people in this world, there's a compassion. Jesus, you know what's our treasures in heaven? It's not a penthouse. It's not golden streets. It's people and the Father. That's our treasures in heaven. Let's love people while we are. Let's learn from the Samaritan. What did he do? It says there, "But a Samaritan had compassion, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on him oil and wine." You see, friends, many times we live on 120% with our stuff and not on 80%. Because we're on 120%, we don't have any to give away or to help with. We need to learn how to live on 80%. But in this world, we live on 120% and we don't have anything to give. It says there, "And then he set him on his own animal." We live on 120% with our space. There's not really a place for people to come close and come in because we're too busy. They opened their house for us this weekend because they're on 80%. They had 20% extra. When God wants to send a blessing, we've got space on our donkey. Come on. Come on. Many times we're so busy, we don't have space. And it says there, he put him on his own arm and brought him to the inn and took care of him. You see, friends, I learned this lesson. I have an office and I like to read and study and write a book. And I've written 5 books, printed and sell them, but not really published any. But it's just something I love. And I was sitting there on my computer and my boy came in one day, heart is wide open, needed his father, he's got an issue that he wants to discuss. And he came into my office, and when he came in, I said to him, "Listen, my boy, when I'm here, you don't bother me. You can see I'm busy, I'm working here, I'm in the middle of something. Don't bother me when I'm in my office." And he walked away with a broken heart. And God said, "You're living on 120%. You don't even have time for your own son. You need to live on 80%. You're too busy. You're out of balance." Friends, we're so busy in this world that we live on 120%. And then we miss windows of opportunities. You know, my boys are only in my house for a window of opportunity and then they're gone. And how many times do I hear people, "I should have. But I didn't. I was too busy." We need to live on 80%. And it says there, "And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.'" We live on 120% with our finances. God wants to send you a blessing to bless others so that you can be a blessing. But we live on 120%. We are full of debt. Our expenses and everything is so massive. We don't have anything to give. We need to live on 80% with our finances because God wants to send you a blessing and you don't have 20% leverage. to be kingdom focused. Because God is kingdom focused. Friends, we must learn to live on 80% with our finances. Because we need to be kingdom focused. And our budget and our finances need to represent us in that. But we live on 80%, 120%. And we struggle to get through. And which of these three do you think proved to be the neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Go, you go and do likewise. Friends, God's saying, go and live on 80%. So you have time for people, you have time, you have resources, you have finances, and you can be kingdom focused. Sure, that one was good for me. We need to be in balance. God also taught me to work from a place of rest. Because I was in business, at one stage we had 18 different businesses that we ran. So God said, listen, you need to work from a place of rest. And how do I do that? In the beginning of the year, I take my calendar, I block out the weekends, they green, that I don't do anything. I book my two holidays and I pay for them. And then I start to work from a place of rest. And at least a day in the week, I also rest. Friends, we need to learn how to work from a place of rest. Because sometimes we make promises to our family. Yes, don't worry, June, we're going away. And then when June comes, we say, yo, you know, there's this big deal coming through and we're on the edge of signing this deal. And it's just too hectic and we can't go now. Friends, and then time, windows of opportunities passed. And we miss out those things. To strengthen yourself, to build a relationship, do those things. I'm saying this, it's a reality, friends, in our lives. These things are a reality. We don't work from a place of rest. Plan your days of rest and work from that place. And we also need to work from a place of strength, friends. I want to show you something. Now this ball, like anything else, has a creator, am I right? And the one that created this ball, gave this ball an identity. He said that you are a soccer ball. That's your name. That's what people will call you. That's your identity. Amazing. And then he said, but you have also a place where you belong. It's on the soccer field or on the streets with the boys. That's where you belong. But you've got a destiny. You're going to be used for the game of soccer. Now, friends, I want to ask you, can this ball function in that ability, in that calling, in that identity that the Creator has created it for? No, it can't. See, it's actually useless. Why? I want to say to you, you know what's a sad thing? The very thing that this ball needs is in abundance around him every day. It's there for him. But the problem is, it's not on the inside. Now I want to show it to you. Where's the soccer captain? Come, Felizzo. You're the soccer coach. You know how to do this, my friend. Go for it. Pump that thing. I'll keep it like this. So see what happens, friends. Come on, come on, hey. Can you see, guys, there's an inner strength that starts to raise up in this ball. There's something that's shaping this ball into the identity that has been created because something happens on the inside. Something is coming and it's changing everything. Thanks, my friend. You're a champion, man. Come on. Yes, yes. God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous because strength is something on the inside and courageous is an outflow of what's in the inside. Friends, we cannot go into this world and manage our finances if we don't do it from a place of strength, of being filling with the Father and be filling and seeking God and seeking His ways and from a place of righteousness. Because I'm saying to you, when you go into this world, the world, there's challenges and this world will want to come and throw you down. But I want to say to you, if you come from a place of strength and you are strengthened in Christ and the world comes and throws you down, you just jump back. Hey, and the harder the world throw you, the higher you jump back. Six times the righteous falls, but every time God picks him up and brings him back to the inner place, the place where you are strengthened. They said to David, he's a man that knows how to go out and come in. Solomon said, I want to be a man like my father, a man that can go out and come in. Moses, when he prayed for a successor, he said, Jesus, just give me a man that knows how to go in and come in. Friends, we need to know how to go in and come out strengthened by the Father. Lord Jesus, I'm going through something in life, Lord. There's a challenge in my finances. Come in, my son. Come in, my daughter. Thank you, Jesus. Strengthen me, Father. I give this into your hands, Father. I ask your willingness, your discernment, your strength, Father. And I go out in the strength and I'm courageous to face this world. Because if the enemy throws you down, you just jump back because you know where to go into and find your strength. Friends, in this world, you must seek that, friends. You must press in for the place in the presence of the Father where he can strengthen you, because outside there it's rough. It's rough. We need that in our lives. Friends, and we need to manage what God has given us. Genesis 2 verse 5. Just giving you a few steps and things that God just taught me about finances and that I'm journeying with him. Another thing that God said to me is manage what I've given you. Genesis 2 5. Says, when no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field has yet sprung up. And I said, Lord, why not? There's so many seeds in the land, but nothing is growing, Lord. There's so much potential. There's so much blessing in the land, Lord, but nothing is growing. I want to know why, Lord. Show me, why isn't any of these seeds growing on my land? And for the Lord God, then it says, for the Lord God has not caused it to rain on the land. Jesus, why is it not raining on the land, Lord? Why is that potential not growing, Lord? What's happening? And he says, and there was no man to work the ground. You see, that word work is aligned with a word that also means to manage. There was no man to manage the land. You see, friends, when we look after what God has placed under us, when we manage what God has placed under us, it unlocks the heavens and God rains on your land and stuff starts to grow. What you don't manage, you will mismanage. I'm asking you, if you are not budgeting, please have a budget. Start to manage what you have, what God has placed under your care. And one other thing that God taught me is to gear for opportunities. And so many people make these mistakes. You know, David was on the hill and he was playing the harp and throwing the sling and throwing stones and killing bears and lions for fun. And it was just like, you know, looking after sheep, you know. And he never knew that God was setting him up. He played the harp and didn't even know that he's going to play the harp before the king. And while he was on the hill, God was organizing behind the scenes. You know, if David stepped from that hill prematurely, he would miss God's plans for his life. Because while he was on the hill, God organized Samuel. And when Samuel came to his house, he said to his brothers, I send you, go and fetch David. A day is going to come when God is going to send you, when God is going to call you into something. And are you ready for that something? You need to gear yourself on the hill. Gear yourself for the opportunity, friends, because opportunity, business opportunities and investment opportunities and stuff is going to come, but are you ready for it? Gear yourself for the opportunity. Otherwise, you're going to use and take money that you shouldn't take. And you're going to hurt yourself if that thing doesn't work. Gear yourself for the opportunity. And then the last thing that I want to say to you, if we are kingdom focused and if we are people focused, we need to save to give. Save to give. And I want to show it to you how to do this. I'm going to draw you something here. So my son Dirkie, since grade 6, when he started his business, Dirkie had five jars. This one was tithing, is 10%. This one was giving, 10%. This one was personal saving, 15%. This was business saving to gear himself for opportunities. And this one was social, because he's a youngster, needs a lot of social. So that religiously, whenever he receives any money, he would put it in those jars, and later on that jar got replaced with a spreadsheet where he writes everything down, because all the money goes to one account, but he's got five spreadsheets. I want to challenge you, if you come to my house, ask me to give you Derkie's file. I will take it out and you will see all the spreadsheets there from wherever. He writes everything down. He manages what God has given him. Now, when he was 15 years old, it was lockdown. And Romke came to us. He's a friend of us. He does the outreaches and look after people for the church. Romke came to our house because he had one of those free passes to move around. And he said, "Oh, you know what? I just came from a flat where there's a mother there. She's 24 years old. She's got two children. She's been beaten and her husband left her. And she's got nothing. That place is empty and it's locked down." And Dirkie heard this when we spoke. And Dirkie said, "Yes, I want to, God bless her." He was just touched by the story. And we said, "Okay, that's great. How do you want to bless?" He said, "No, I want to buy a stove and some pots and stuff." We said, "Fine, it's great." And Romke organized and we went to a store and he bought a stove there and he bought pots and a lot of things. And then we went to this lady that's in the flat. Dirkie gave everything to her there. He prayed for her. And then when we left, I saw that Jesus did something in his heart. I saw it on his face that Jesus did something in his heart. There was just a shift that happened in his life. And I asked the Lord, "Lord, was it easy for a 15-year-old boy to give that amount of money away?" Because I don't know. And God said, "Very easy. It was very easy." You know why? Because he already written it off. It wasn't his anyway. He budgeted for giving. Because every month he would put 10% of his money away for giving. You know, when we build our church, Dirkie's got a few bricks in that building. Because he emptied this whole account and gave it to the building fund. You know, and it was easy to give because it was written off already. You know, when you are kingdom focused, show me your budget. You know, people come to me and say, "Now I want to go into business because I want to be a supporter. I want to give money for King." And then I ask, "How much are you giving now?" No. "You know, I don't have much. But when I've got this plan," you'll never give, because it's a character thing, it's a faith thing, it's not a head thing. It's a character thing. You know what? Your wallet will speak to you, or you will speak to your wallet. But one of the two will be the boss. If you don't have a budget for giving, I'm telling you, your wallet will be your boss. Because when you open up that wallet, it's going to say, "Yes, man, it's now the 10th of the month. You know, yes, it's still a long way. You know, it's tough. You know, there's still a lot of expenses. You know, but maybe you can give that 10 bucks. It's fine." But when you budget for giving and you open up your wallet wants to say something, you go, "Shh, shh, no, listen, I've already written this money off. It's not mine anyway. It's easy to give." And that's how you can give with a glad heart, because you budget for it, you write it off. Then it's easy to give. Tithing, I write it off. It's not mine. Because Malachi 10 says, "Bring it to the storehouse." It doesn't say, "Give it to the storehouse." When I borrowed Telicho's telephone, I don't give it back, I bring it back, because it belongs to him anyway. That's why God doesn't say, "Give your tithe." He says, "Bring your tithe," because it's not yours anyway. It never was yours. It's his anyway. You receive it and you just bring it back. It's amazing. Friends, how do we do all these things? I want to show you.
How do we do this?
Right, guys, this is how you do all these things. When it comes to finances, you need to put on your lion suit. Because I want to tell you, friends, to keep standing in this world, to keep on doing what's right, to be righteous, and to do justice, you need a lion suit. Because you know what? When I put on this lion suit, I stand out. I look different. When the world looks at me, they can laugh. Yeah. I mean, I feel out of my comfort zone. I feel exposed. But friends, you know what? Sometimes you just need to put on your lion suit. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter how it looks. You put it on because it's the right thing to do. When you put on your lion suit, you step out of the way and the Lion of Judah can come in and he can do something in someone's life. Someone that's been crying, that's in need, and he can come and he can touch a heart. Because you are willing to put on your lion suit and say, Jesus, I don't care how this feels. I don't care how it looks. I don't care what people think or say. I'll put on my lion suit and I choose to do the right thing. Friends, you've got a lion suit. You've got a lion suit. Put it on. Put it on. If God calls you to budget, do it. If God calls you to bless or to pray or to whatever God calls you to do, to be honest in your workplace, whatever. If God calls you and it's tough, put on your lion suit and just do it because it's the right thing. Can I pray for us? Come on, man. If you need a breakthrough, just stand and I just want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We come to you today, Father, and Lord, we want to be righteous, Lord. We come to you, Father. We want to be in right standing with you, Father, with our finances. Jesus, I pray that you will just reveal your heart to us, Father. Show us your ways that we can follow in your footsteps, Jesus. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, some of us need a breakthrough, Lord, and we are standing before you and saying, Jesus, help us. Jesus, open up the heavens. Lord, I pray that you will open up the heavens and rain on that land, Father. I pray for that seed to be ignited and to grow, Father, but grow for your glory. Lord Jesus, grow for you, Lord, and that we will surrender to you, Father. And we come this morning, Lord, and in those places, Lord, where we were not righteous and in right standing with you, Lord, we surrender that now, Jesus. Lord, and it's difficult, Lord. It's not easy, Jesus, and I don't really know how is this going to happen and how I'm going to do it, but I choose to put on my lion suit today and just take every step as you lead me and just do what is right, Lord Jesus, and do it consistently. And thank you, Lord, that your word says that you will add. Your word is truth and you are a living God and you do what your word says, Lord. And therefore, this morning, we take that word where you said and you will add. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity. Thank you, like Levi, that you call me from the booth this morning. Doesn't matter what I've done wrong in the past. Doesn't matter. Lord Jesus, you call me because you love me, Lord, and therefore I want to step out now and follow you, Jesus, and do what is right. And thank you, Lord, that you will add. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that I will do it consistently until the breakthrough comes. Thank you, Lord, that you just release your rain and your blessing on each land, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you enlarge each one. And thank you, Lord, for your hope to come now in every heart, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Lekker man. Great.